Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
So I'm just going to jump into this word. Father, would you set your hand on this? Would you put your word forward this morning that we might feel it and hear it, have ears to hear? Would you remove dullness from our hearts that we can understand what you're trying to say in this kingdom that's ever increasing, God? Would you help us to see you in the name of Jesus? So, amen. You know, God is always moving. You can't always see him moving, but he is moving. He's moving behind the scenes on your behalf constantly, even when you don't know. He's working when you can't see him working. He is doing things for you and on your behalf that you are unaware of. And sometimes our heart gets so distracted or so hard that we don't realize. You know, women, if you're in this country, do you know how many times you could have been trafficked and you weren't? Do you know how many times someone could have robbed your home inside on an invasion and it didn't happen? How many times you could have lost a car or your life and God intervened? I believe that God does it all the time. Now, there are hardships. You know, I've suffered a lot of things in my life. I'm not going to talk about all that stuff today. But what I am going to talk about is the fact that God set a covenant upon my life. And when I agreed to it with him, then two of us began a binding legal agreement. Now, it makes sense for you and I to want to make a covenant with God because he's God. He's huge. He's everything. Creator, deliverer, master, king. But it doesn't make sense for him to want to make a covenant with us because we fall short all the time. Does this not blow anyone else's mind in this room except for me? That God would want to make a covenant with us. But he does. A binding agreement of two parties with blood and promises. And God provides both parts. We've been studying this for weeks. You can find all these messages, which I'm just going to say the stuff that we teach here is inspiring. Myself included. You're welcome. I wanted to give a nod to Paul because that's how he talks all the time. You know, I know I'm the best of the best Pharisee and I've taught with the top men and I, you know, he speaks like that. And you know why he does it? It's not arrogance. It's certainty. Something happens to us and we become transformed into the image of the likeness of God. And when we speak these truths, they come from heaven. They come from a revelation from God and they make a difference. They make a difference to us. They make a difference to the people that are near us and our sphere of influence and how we live our very lives. This stuff is real. It's legit. Isn't it?
Yes.
So we teach these things on purpose. And I've had people come and say, hey, I've been re-listening to those messages. You know, when you start talking about covenant, start talking about martyrs and the last of days and all that kind of stuff, all those scary places of the Bible that everybody tries to avoid. Well, we don't avoid it. You have to preach the whole gospel. If you've been sitting here and you've never been offended by the word, then you're not listening. The word is offensive because it speaks to your flesh and the nature of your flesh. And it brings correction on how you're living and how to get back into a communication and a communion and, yeah, a covenant with God. Because God is aware that we know how to break covenant. And he's also aware and well able to repair and keep his portion of the covenant. Right? I know he is. There's some key pieces in the teachings of the covenant. And here's what they are. That Abraham had a faith in God's promises. God promised him nations from his loins, but he didn't have any kids. But Abraham still believed it. What are you believing God for? And I will tell you, if you're believing God for nothing, that is what you can expect to receive. If you can lean in and start to believe God for things, and maybe you've believed in him for a long time, but you haven't seen the fruition, lean in anyway. He is faithful. He is not bound by time like we are. He is not afraid. He knows what time it is. Some of us get so worried, you know, with the times and the seasons that we live in, and I'm going to talk about some of that stuff today. Abraham had a faith in God's promises despite the fact that he didn't have any children. Secondly, the importance of Isaac's role as a chosen heir. Do you know that Isaac, you know, the kids, this is about some of the kids of the covenant. These men and women of God, give us a huge idea that maybe God could use me too. If I can look at what they've done and God chose them to lead the way, then maybe he might choose me too in my human flaw and be able to do something that might bring God glory as well. I mean, these men are liars. You know, I mean, different generations have different things. If you're doing the reading with us on the sidebar, it's really good. It's in the YouVersion. You can see Scott if you want to get in the group. It's never too late. We do short ones. We do long ones. We've done year-long sessions like that. Has anybody ever completed a whole year with us all the way through? I know some of us have. I know. It's good, isn't it? I mean, we'll look. You can look on there and see who read it, you know, and there's some days you can look on there and see that I didn't read it. But I will catch up. Don't worry. And so I'm on track with this one, and it's about these very things. We're reading through Genesis methodically, and we get to a place where, you know, God, remember the four P's from the beginning? Remind me to come back to where Abraham is going to tell him that Sarah's his sister. Okay, but before that, remember the four P's. We started that at the beginning of the year. Well, those didn't go away. The four P's remain. It's something that God said, hey, do this, and let your church be known for this, and let your life be known for this forever. And I said, okay, I'm in a covenant with him. Pursue God. That's never going to stop. God pursues you. That's his joy and delight in his creation. But our work to pursue him, well, that's a different thought. Pursue God, you know. I got to have breakfast with Marianne a couple days ago. We pursue each other. We call each other and text and set up a date, and then we go sit down and have a coffee and talk about stuff, about life. We pursue each other. If we don't pursue, we're never going to sit down and have a conversation. Now, I might pursue you two or three times, but if you don't pursue and reciprocate, then I'll be like, later. Where's the action? What's God doing for me? What does he want to see right now? You know, because there'll be a time to connect. And when we pursue, we have connection. It's time to pursue God like we never have before. When you pursue anybody that pursues me, if you're not pursuing God, please don't pursue me. You know, I want to have somebody that's alive in Christ, that's ready to go figure out what God is saying, and let's pursue him as we're seeking a relationship together. Pursuing God, number one. The second one is prayer, and in this order too, because you pursue God and then you want to pray. You want to carve out a section of your day to specifically pray. Yes, I pray without ceasing. I'm praying all the time. I pray thoughts most of the time. Anything that's going on, even if I'm in a conversation that's not comfortable, I'll pray in my mind. I'll pray in the spirit. I'll pray under my breath. I'll pray out loud. It depends on what it takes. The other day I had my little granddaughter was trying to defy me because she doesn't understand granny law yet. She's going to, because granny law can get you cake for dinner. But she better do what I say, right? That's how it goes. And so I was telling her, you know, hey, we got to clean up these toys. She said, I don't want to. And I go, I know. It's okay if you don't want to, but you have to. And she said, I'm not going to. This was Violet. Where is that girl? Where is she? I said, Violet, you have to do it. And she goes, I know, I'm not going to. And I said, in the name of Jesus, rebellion, come off you. And she said, I don't want rebellion off me. And I said, yeah, you do. And so we had a time where I helped her move her body over to the toys and pick them up and bring them back, as she was a limp rag of a doll, and put it back into, this was very much, I could have done this so much easier myself, but there's something about pursuing and praying and speaking kingdom things out loud over the people that we love the most. Because how many of you know that if that doesn't get settled here, it's going to be real hard to settle at 10 and then 16 and then 20. And I have no intention of losing her. Do you know what I'm saying? Pursue, pray, and become a people of God's presence. A people of God's presence where we look like him. We sound like him. We talk like him. We move around like him. Now, we're flawed. We're going to mess it up. I tell you all the time, and I mean this with sincerity of heart, I am a pastor. I am a woman that needs a savior. I need him. I need him to speak life to me. I need forgiveness. I need his passion. I need to move forward in his covering and in his covenant. And so do you. A people of God's presence. And lastly, possess the land. We just started talking about this. We've had a couple messages all through this whole year. It's been incredible for me. I've loved this series. I've loved the other teachers coming along. I've loved the messages alongside of the teachings. They've been life-changing. Possessing the land is a big deal to God. Now, we're really good as a culture and as people at taking a little clip of something and then making that our doctrine, and then we live out of that. Like, for example, you know, if the Bible says, you know, somebody slaps you on the cheek, then turn the other cheek, right? Turn the other cheek and take it again. That's a great phrase, right? And we take that as a doctrine, and we think that's our Christian theology, and that's how we should move about the planet. What's the context of that? The context of that is when Jesus came into the earth, the Jewish people were under Roman rule, okay? So they have to do what the Romans say. If the Romans slap you upside your head, you better turn your cheek and take it again, because the Romans, if you hit them, they can kill you. Jesus was saving their lives with that kind of advice in that day. There's other places you look in the Bible, and God is telling us to go to war. Should I go up, Lord, or should I stay? Here's a fleece I'm setting before you. Do you want me to take this ground? Do you want me to stay here? Take the ground, God says. Sometimes there's a war to be had that you can only find peace on the other side of it. There's places in the Bible that tell you, contend for your faith. What does contend mean? It means to fight, to lean in and to fight for what belongs to you. And there is a time for that. And I think some of us as Christians, it's again, this is what I think. This is what I observe. A lot of Christians go through their whole lives and their whole faith walk so passive and so small, they never even serve a Jesus that actually exists. Jesus is not so passive. You know, Jesus is the one turning over the tables when there's an injustice. We're not going to have a money-changing house in here. This is the Lord's house we're going to pray. And Jesus makes a stampede on the day of Passover. Y'all familiar with that story? You ever heard of it? Anybody ever heard that story before? Yeah, it's a good story. So it's like Jesus has moments of kindness and mercy. That's when he's reaching down and writing in the sand to help someone get over their sin. He's kind to someone who's broken. But he has the harshest words for Pharisees. And he has some strong things to say when the things that he came to fulfill and to give us in the gospel are threatened. And then he gives us the Holy Spirit to be able to fight spiritual battles and to be able to take authority in spiritual situations. And from this moment forward, I want to make a declaration that this church right here and all of us in it, and anybody who hears this message, if you're a Christian, you are the Department of War. You are in charge of tearing down strongholds. You are responsible to look at something that is threatening your way of life and say, back, kingdom of darkness, let the spirit and kingdom of God be preserved for me and for my children and for my children's children, that they might be blessed and not cursed and walk upon the earth with a covenant that God promised us to walk upon. Are you with me? Some people say, it's too late. It's too late. It's already gone too far. It's already happening. It's, you know. What do you think, saints? Do you think Jesus is gonna come back for a crippled, hiding out bride down in the cellar with a gun ready to shoot anybody that would come in and take their food? That is pathetic. That's the walking dead. Jesus is coming back for a bride that doesn't have a spot and doesn't have a wrinkle on her. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look around the body of Christ, I see a lot of spots, and I see quite a few wrinkles. And God, and that's not a judgmental call. That's just, hey, time to fight, time to move, time to shake. Stacy said it best. You come in here on a Sunday morning, and you want to be fed. And I said this a week or two ago. We don't come in here to get fed. We come in here to get equipped. You can eat afterward. You come in here to get equipped to do the work of ministry, because we're not here to be passive. We are here to be ambassadors for Christ while we're on the earth. Okay, let me find my notes now. Okay. Did you know that currently there is not one single Bible prophecy left to be fulfilled before Jesus splits the sky and touches his toe on the Mount of Olives and the mountain breaks apart? They're all fulfilled. The last one was whenever Israel became a nation. I think that was 1948, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, 1948, are you kidding me? Well, there is a little part that talks about this great apostasy, and some people lean into this kind of teaching. The great apostasy, a bunch of believers losing their faith and falling off the cliff. What a terrible wedding for everybody that is supposed to be there to fall off and not even be excited about it. I think it's going to be the exact opposite of that. I think something is going to happen, and I think it's going to be huge. And I think it's going to be in the terms of all of you understanding that Sunday morning is equipment and all the rest of your life and everywhere that you go belongs to the Lord, and you begin to speak and talk and act like the Lord, and you begin to speak with authority, kingdom authority, full of grace, full of power, full of conviction. Until, does anyone in this room know anybody that's not saved? Yeah. Are you talking to them? Start talking to them. Oh, they don't care. They'll never come to church. You are not the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit's work. That is his authority. That is his kingdom stuff. Your job is to be obedient to him. See, we think that all the things of the covenant, all the promises of the covenant, salvation, all the things, we think that being the head and not the tail, that we'll be blessed, that coming in and going out. We're like, yeah, we'll take that. Yeah, we'll take that. All of our vats will be full. We'll have plenty. We're never going to lack. We'll be a lender to everyone and borrow from nobody. I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out. We're like, yeah, we sign up for all that. All of those things are in the covenant. If you follow him and obey him, not a little bit, not just a little bit on Sunday, but all the time. Lean in and follow God with your whole life. It is a free covenant that cost everything. It cost your whole self. What do you think carrying a cross and follow me means? Pick up your cross, follow me. Even if it kills me. That's what it means. So let me start my message, okay? Listen. I read the book of Jude this week. And I've been in the New Testament. I've been so much in the Old Testament and reading all these things and looking at Abraham, he starts to possess the land. He says, he comes upon a land, they're going to have, you know, an exchange. And his wife is beautiful. And he tells his wife, hey, tell them you're my sister. I'd be like, say what? Tell them what? You know, they might try to marry me or sleep with me. You got to tell them that because they're going to kill me. Okay. You know, and that's kind of how it plays out. I'm paraphrasing, but it'll hold. Go read it for yourself. And the next generation, Isaac, does the same thing. You know, they're liars. And they're a little bit afraid. If God has already brought this much to your life and already brought a miracle out of your loins and already set you with all this cattle and land and provision and wealth, and, you know, if he's already done all that, can he not cover your marriage? I mean, it's easy to judge from this side. We didn't live it. We didn't ride up on, you know, on the camel. Hey, She's kind of pretty. I think I'm going to kill you for her. That's my sister. You can take her. You know. And then God still covers Sarah and Rebecca. He covers them in a way that they're not violated and in a way that they get to come back to, you know, the fold. So all these things, I'm telling you, you know, the legacy that was set there, how do we apply that to today, to our children and to our children's children, that they might be able to walk in a covenant promise too. We have to teach them. It's so important. The piece of Isaac, I mean, he was even offered on an altar that the whole thing could just go up in a sacrifice and in smoke. And God said, no, I got you. Every time God will come in and save us if we lean into it, if we lean into and believe him. But today there's something that presses against our faith and against our system of life and what we believe. And some of this stuff, you know, even this week, I read some things about the Islamic nation and the press that it is making in our country and the territory that it seems to be gaining and is gaining. There's an election on Tuesday. I just keep praying for eyes to be open and for wisdom to vote in the right direction and for New York City to not be, it's a mayor. Not to have a mayor that's a full-blown Muslim. I was going to bring some videos this morning that were kind of intense. You know, it shows kind of the way that Sharia law operates. But you can look that up on your own time. But in short, you know, Sharia law, different states are starting to ban it. Thank God. Now, some of us are passive in our faith, and we just sit back and pray, and that's fine. Prayer is awesome. Calling a state's representative person is the next step. Making your own voice heard on social media and with your family. You know, it's like you lose friends. They'll block you. They'll stop talking to you. And that's okay. Somebody will hear you. Something will connect in somebody's heart. Because I believe strongly that the power of God can transform any mind and any heart. Because he is God. If you don't believe that, you're serving the wrong God. God can transform anyone. He can reprogram anyone's thinking. Even a Muslim. Now, people say that they hate Muslims. No, I don't hate them. I'm kind of scared of them, if I'm being honest, because they want to kill me. You know, they don't like women too much. And in Sharia law, if a husband senses that the wife has a disobedient thought, he is commanded to strike her. Commanded to. I had some videos of that I was going to show you. And why? To provoke fear? No, to say you better stand up and say not here, not in this country. This is our watch. We're still in charge here. We still have a moment of clarity and freedom because we live in a red state, guys. And this is not a blue state. The blue states have the Islamic setup going on because they'll come in. Well, you know, it's not even a party, guys. That's what they want it to be. We have a government structure. It is one government, and it's ruling over us, okay? Republicans are not any better. There's corruption on every side. Look, here's where we're at. If Islam comes in here and takes over, there's no separation between mosque and church, mosque and government. It's the same thing. The law is very different, and I don't want that. I don't want my little granddaughters wearing burqas or jihabs. Do you? So you better make your voice known while you can. Why am I spending so much time on this? I just read all this stuff through the book of Jude. You just start putting the book of Jude up there and let everybody look at it while I'm talking. It has some points to make. You know, first of all, if you read it in different translations, there's a translation that says, hey, relax, I got this. You know, it starts off with a word like that. But it's speaking about false teachers and how things will come into being where, you know, there was a discovery that somebody said they found the body of Jesus Christ recently. And it's like, Jesus, in all of Jesus' wisdom, it's like, that's not possible. He lives in glory. Jesus said, they'll even say they found my body. Don't listen to false teachers. Don't listen to false prophets. How do you know what's a false teacher or a false prophet? You have to know what the word says. If you know what the word says, you know that what they're saying is true or false. How many of you will come to me and say, well, I heard somebody say, da, 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 da. Is that right? And I'll be looking at you like, do you have a Bible? You know, that's false. The Lord is never going to go against his own word. He never will. And you can always test the spirit by testing what scripture says about what you heard, what's right and what's wrong. Because there are going to be false prophets, and there already are. There's so many out and about. People even say they are the Messiah, the nerve. You can't even make a flower. Look about the planet. The times are ripe. How much time do we have? So the book of Jude goes on, and he starts to say, now, it's not enough for you to understand that there are false teachers and false prophets. That's why I asked in the beginning, has this word ever offended you? Has it ever challenged you in your life? It should, or you're not in the right room. The scripture should unwrap you. It should unravel you, and it should bring you all the way to your knees. So you're looking at God, and you're asking for forgiveness. Please transform this heart of stone. Please forgive this sinful being and help me walk in the right way, right? The word should do that. In this house, I believe it does. You should teach the whole truth, not just part. It shouldn't just come in here and make you feel good and have a good latte and then go home. You know, that's not what it's about. You have to come in and get be messed with and let God speak to your heart and life and move you into a glory and then to another glory and another glory in his presence. All those scriptures that Stacy read this morning about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit comes and brings all of those wonderful things, revelation, fear of the Lord. Is this fun? Is anybody having as much fun as me? Because, I mean, this kind of stuff gets me going. It reminds me whose I am and who I am. We walk around this planet with so much authority. We are not we're not living with a defeated king. Our king is Jesus. It's our only king. And he's risen from the dead. He's alive and well. Oh, you guys. So Jude starts talking about, it's not enough to know that there are false teachers. There are false teachers. The next part is about, so contend for what you've been taught. Contend for the faith that you have. If somebody brings you a new theology, you should raise your eyebrows at that. There's not a new theology. I don't think there's been any more scrolls found, as far as I know. We have the canonized portion of scripture, which is the word of God, and that's what we follow. That's what we lean into. So if you're going to contend for something that's been given to you, contend for your faith. Fight for it. Speak the truth to anything that opposes it. And I'm just going to flat tell you, you know, when you're cheering for Palestine in St. Louis, Palestine opposes St. Louis. It does not have the same value system. The problem with it is, I've had people close to me say, it's not very Christian to want to deport people. And I'm like, okay, I get what you're saying. Somebody's acclimated here. You know, they've lived here all these years, and they've lived off of our food stamps and housing and medical and all these things. I understand. Is it fair then to uproot and take them out of here? Look, that is above my pay grade, but my heart says the people that come in, why do people move here? Why do people move to the United States?
Freedom.
Freedom and tyranny do not mix. And our freedom is being threatened by tyranny. And so you don't see it today because this is where you live. It starts out here and comes this way. So this is like a clarion call, church. Let it ring in your heart. What can I do? Pray, speak up, be on the alert. Make your voice heard. You know, there's a girl that's preaching out here that I've been following, and her husband used to be Muslim, and they're just dynamic in speaking and teaching. And I just have a little clip of a sermon that she did, and I just wanted to play it for you real quick, and then I'll pick it back up right after this. Her name is Millicent Sadar, I think, or something like that. Okay, this is part of the clip, but do you get the idea of what she's saying? This is somebody who is speaking way out on the front lines and speaking against Islamic strategies, because there is one, you know. But there's a king named Jesus, and I believe his name is above every name, including Islam, and I trust him to bring us all the way through. Do you?
Yes.
Ooh, do you? I mean, what are the signs of the end of the age? Let's look at some of those. Signs of the end of the age, Matthew 24. Jesus, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? When are you coming? What are the signs of your coming? What are the signs of the ends of the age, the end of the age? And Jesus said, well, see that no one leads you astray. Back to Jude, there are false teachers, but Jesus is speaking here, so lean in. He said, see that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of war and rumor of war. See that you're not alarmed, for these things must take place. But this is not the end, not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all these are but the beginning of birth pains. They will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all the nations for my name's sake. And many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. There's also a place where he says people be lovers of themselves, have a disregard for parents, be disobedient. And all those things are taking place. And they have. You know, my husband and I will talk about this, and he'll say, well, there's nothing really new under the sun. You know, people always have acted out all the way back. Cain killed Abel. I mean, that's the first family. You know, where does it begin? Where does it end? And I agree with him. It has always been, you know, a hot mess. It's always been chaos. But the levels of it and the increased amount of it, and everywhere that you look every day, and I know social media has a lot to do with it, even taking a break off of social media, would you still feel the chaos and the press? It's a spiritual darkness by the Antichrist. What is our phrase to that? If not back, kingdom of darkness. We have to learn our spiritual authority, guys, and stand strong in it for the next generation and the one after that. So back to the book of Jude. Book of Jude is telling us about the false teachers. Be aware. Tells us to, contend for your faith. Fight for the things that matter to you, that they might be preserved, that what we believe about Christianity will be preserved for our children and for our children's children. All of those things. And then it goes on to have another idea in there. And it's about other people. It takes a turn toward other people. This is the part that we have to get over ourselves and start to understand why we're here, why we're still here and our hearts are still beating and we still have faith in us. We still have opportunity to come to church and to gather with anybody that we want to gather with, right? So if you're looking to other people, he kind of describes this sense that there are some that you can get in a relationship with and you can do a soft gospel approach. You can have Starbucks 20, 30, 40 times with them. You can just, kind of pass by them. You can invite them to all of your Pampered Chef parties, ladies, and all of your, whatever you do, trivia nights, wherever you go and whatever you're part of, and you invite the world into what you're doing, the lost people that every one of you raised your hand, you said that you know. See, Jesus is all about reaching lost people. He doesn't become like them. You have to know yourself, know where you can go and know what your limits are. You know what your triggers are and what you're going to fall if you end up in a certain situation, but you know where your strengths are. Go and be an influence for the people that you can. So Jude has this idea. You can go and be passive and just, Jesus loves you in the drive-thru. Even your shirt can say, you matter. God cares for you. The planet's better with you on it. All those things are great. But then there's another group of people that he says you have to snatch from the fire. Have you ever snatched a kid? I was walking and on the escalator at the mall, the escalator, it's fun. Kids like to go up and down it. And I had Ava, it was about a year ago. And we're coming up to the top and the kid puts her hand down on the thing. And I went, and I picked her up so fast because her hands were getting ready to go into the, and she screamed, no, Leeway, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm saving your hands, pumpkin. And I carry her around to the side. I'm like, there was no time. Honey, you better not put your hands there. That passive thing doesn't work anymore. People haven't heard our voice say things like, when I got saved, I'm just going to tell you what happened. I lived with my boyfriend, that guy right over there. We lived together. We did not care. We had rebellion all over us, rebellion. We were living for ourselves. We didn't care about it. And you know what happened? My brother gets saved. Watched my cousin nearly die from a drug overdose. And all the geniuses there threw him into a bathtub and dumped all the coolers of ice water on him, sent him into shock. It was quite a trip. But it scared my brother so much that he went to a church, pulled in there in the middle of the day, and runs into a minister that speaks deliverance over his life. You know what deliverance is? That's in the name of Jesus. Drug addiction come off of you. And it comes off. Just comes off. Deliverance is the children's bread. He changed when that happened to him. He invited Jesus to come live on the inside of him. And he comes home to me and tells me that I am a fornicator and a sinner and that I'm going to hell. To which I said, you first. And so we've had a relationship. My brother, with those words, I laid in my bed that night next to my boyfriend, unsaved. And I said, God, is that true? Is that real, what he's saying? And I could hear it. You're a fornicator. You're a liar. You are far from me. And that snatched me out of the kingdom of darkness and set me on a path toward light. It is time to begin to speak the language of the people that you hang out with. The people that you're with know you. They know how you talk. They know where you came from. Everything that you've gone through is on purpose. what if God meant it for good, what the enemy meant to destroy you, but God meant it for good? What if when Jude is talking about, hey, there are false teachers in every direction, you better start contending for your faith because I've set an ambassador patch on your arm and you're bought with a price. And what if your story actually matters to the person behind you that needs you to reach back and pull them up and snatch them out of the harm's way of the devil? What if that's what it means? Islam, no Islam. Not on my watch. I will die before someone puts a burqa on me, gladly. Oh, I will, whatever it takes to leave a legacy that my kids can see that freedom is ours. And we are the ones to fight for it. And if we don't, another election will take place and another method, because there is a strategy. And we've opened the door for it, too. When the border is down, everyone can come in. Do you have any borders in your life? Got any boundaries? Maybe you should set some. So everything and everyone can't come in. And when you're ready to have your story and you're ready to tell it and God's moving on your heart to say it and to do it, you're free to do it. You're not encumbered by all the things that you'd let come in. Does that make sense? Get rid of the old covenant so the new covenant can be alive and well on the inside of you. We're born for such a time as this, you guys. We're made for it. Would you stand up with me? I know I'm all over the place. I know it. I feel it. There's a call to persevere. A call to persevere. To he who makes it all the way to the end, that's who's going to be saved. I don't want to be hanging on by a thread. I want to go first. I want to be the first one, you know, breaking down the barriers that separate people from God. We're ministers of what?
Reconciliation.
Say it like you mean it. You're a minister of what? Bought with a price to set people back into a fellowship with God. It's bigger than you think. The little things you do every day on purpose with intention, setting people before the Lord in prayer, being a pursuer of the Father God, possessing the land that he gave you and then holding on to it. All of these things belong to us as the children of God that we are. And I like you guys. I love you. I'm glad we're on the same team. I love that there's a battle to be fought, and you can bet I'm in it. I'm in it with him. Whatever he says, whatever he puts in order that causes the sky to split and him to come for me, I'm in.
Right.
I can endure whatever if I know the promise is him and his face and his goodness, his spirit on me, like Stacy read from Isaiah, like a sash across the front of him, that I belong to him. I'm the Lord's, right? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this word. Thank you that you're calling us, just like Jude, by the spirit of Jude, that we could see what is false and what is real, and that we could walk in it with an ability to discern the difference. Father, let our voices then follow what our hearts perceive. Father, let us not be a silent, passive church that's serving a Jesus that doesn't exist. Let us be the body of Christ, motivated by your goodness and your glory and your covenant on us. Father, would you speak life to us? Would you show us the direction left and right? Father, have your way. Father, we pray against any kind of Islamic culture or nation that would try to infiltrate ours. Father, would you preserve what you've given us? We call out to you, God. Would you set a hedge about it? Would you protect us before and behind? Father, would you put a cloud of fire around your people for safety until the day that we see you face to face? And Father, would you help us to sharpen the sword of the Spirit that you've given us, that is the word of God, that we can speak it with all boldness, with all integrity, Father, that we wouldn't succumb to a Sharia law, but only to the kingdom law, the kingdom of God. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, God. And let us as the ambassadors that carry it, Father, do a good job. Father, we pray for those who are in authority in our government systems. Father, that you would bring transformation and wisdom and enlightenment to their eyes. And Father, even the people that we love that live under a different set of rules and a different set of ideals, Father, that you would bring the word of God as their ideal and their standard. Father, that you would breathe on them and speak to them life-giving truths about your kingdom and your covenant. In the name above every name, Father, Jesus. Amen. Love you guys. Thank you for your attention today.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.